Support for GLT comes from Bloomington Public Library, now offering a local podcast, Shelf Understanding. Past topics include the tiny house movement, virtual reality, an interview with author Eric Larson, and more. Shelf Understanding is available at bloomingtonlibrary.org, through iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
There's great satisfaction in going into your own backyard for the ingredients to bake up something tasty. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. His name is Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Hi, Laura.
Today on GLT's Grow, Murph has advice on what to plant to add to your baking. I know there's a lot of great bakers out there.
That's
and
right.
Getting something fresh into that baking is so delightful.
I have concentrated primarily on fruits that are best for baking, and have concentrated on the ones that are easiest for us to purpose and use in baking. And there's one thing I noticed about all these fruits that I mentioned. If you were to substitute them for sugar in any recipe, it's 1 to 1.5 cups per cup. So you need 1 cup of blueberries to substitute a cup of sugar. And if it's you need a little bit sweeter to your taste, it's 1.5 cups. But they are all dates, figs, bananas, blueberries, raspberries, blackberries, black currants, watermelon, tomato. I mean, I could go on and on. These are the best ones.
Yeah, tomato, by the way, is a fruit.
It is. It is. And all of these can be utilized in a fresh, dried, or frozen state to add to our baking. And there's some chemistry we all know involved in baking, right? You can't fudge on the directions too much. And I came across a treasure from a local extension on a kind of a rule to keep you out of trouble when you're using fruit to substitute sugar. Or if you're making tomato preserves, right, same thing. You take the frozen bits of whatever it is, dates, bananas, apples, whatever. When they're still frozen, you coat them with powder, with flour. That's right. And the flour absorbs the little bit of moisture that comes about from thawing. And it also prevents whatever it is you're supplementing with fruit, it prevents it from just settling to the bottom.
That's right. That way you don't get soggy bottoms and it's not, you know, and you won't be eliminated when you're on the Great British Baking Show.
Yeah, there's a time and a place for soggy bottoms, but during baking with fruit is not
the time.
Nope,
not the time.
But all of those plants, the bananas, the apples, all of them, if you're going to use them in a frozen form, the best thing to do is like flash freeze them. And I saw P. Allen Smith, my hero, do this many times. They take the Bounty and lay it flat on a cookie sheet and set it out of the sun in the house. The air conditioning is great because it dries it out, and it dries it out quickly once it's dry on that same sheet. So they're not touching each other. The bits go into the freezer. Then you put them into a bag or a Tupperware. From there,
I didn't even know you could freeze banana.
You could, but hey, that's a great point and a great comment. Bananas, dates, and figs, when we freeze them, a lot of times if you're going to bake with them, you would want to freeze a puree. You would want to blend it into something and freeze it, so then you get like a fig sickle or a date sickle. Then you can thaw it back out and use it in your cooking.
Cool. Or you could just eat it.
You could. There's nothing wrong with that, but we are talking about baking.
That's true. Right? That's true. Right? So let's go on and talk about baking.
Mixing that fruit into the batter when it's frozen, you can do that. You know, if you cook the pastry or baking item with the already thawed fruit, it'll kind of get mushy.
Oh.
But if you do it when it's still not thawed, it's easier to mix into the batter. But that's where you have to have that flour coating. I almost said powder coating again. Yeah, you're going to paint those, but anyway. And then this is an interesting thing. You know, I'm doing all this reading and stuff. You know, a tart is not a tart unless it has fresh fruit in it. So
right.
If somebody makes you a tart with frozen fruit, I guess it's a bone scone. I don't know.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, plants for baking success and how to achieve that success.
Something else that I found interesting about this, the baking equation when it comes to our fruits, is the dried fruits, right? They preserve a lot of the nutrients. They're easy to store. They don't require refrigeration typically. But, you know, it takes 5 to 6 pounds of fresh fruit to equal the content of 1 pound of dried fruits.
Okay.
So fresh fruits, you need more, right? So it's very, that shows you how dense the nutrients are in our dried fruits.
Right.
And so let's talk a little bit about some of the science about these fruits that I found was interesting, and I think everyone else will too. There's a category of fruits that are called multiple fruits, right? And those are things like mulberry and pineapples.
Mm-hmm.
And the flower cluster forms individual little fruits, and then they kind of coalesce together and become one.
Oh, cool.
So if you look at a mulberry and you look at a blackberry, there are some differences, right? But the pineapple, I think, is the interesting one in that example. You can see how all these little compartments have coalesced into the one big fruit.
That's amazing.
And a berry, botanically and horticulturally speaking, is a single round fruit with a ripe seeds or seed or seeds inside of a fleshy interior. So we all know blueberries are real berries, but so are grapes, black currants, watermelon.
Watermelon's
watermelon,
a berry? No way.
It can be classified because of the manner in which it develops.
Wow.
And all the contents are inside. And the tomato, there's always the big argument. Yeah, eat your fruits and vegetables. Well, you get both with the tomato, right?
Yes.
That's kind of funny.
Yes.
And this is one that I think is interesting, too. The strawberries, raspberries, blackberries, they're an aggregate. Accessory fruit, and the seeds are all born on the outside instead of on the inside.
Yes.
And I just think that's a neat distinction.
It is.
And then I and some people, I got a little brother, he and I both have an allergy to pitted fruits. So cherries, plums, peaches. I was once at a vacation cabin in the sticks in Michigan with my wife, and I ate some cherries from the roadside stand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I learned I was allergic to cherries.
Oh, no.
I thought I was going to choke out in the woods, you know.
Not good.
But, you know, once the pit is removed and that fruit item has been cooked, it suppresses that allergenic reaction that's
really?
In there. So you could still eat, you know, a lot of people with that pit fruit allergy say, well, you just avoid the pit. Well, not so much. Not mm-hmm. so much. But if you cook it, that takes care of it, even the parts of the peach or the cherry that were touching the pit.
That's interesting, you know, because I can't drink red wine because it gives me migraines, but I can have it in like beef bourguignon or something like that after it's been cooked.
Well, maybe it's the sulfides, because I have a problem with red wine too, so okay. Maybe we should talk about that sometime.
That sounds like a good future show.
We do talk about stuff from time to time.
We do.
But, you know, it's that time of year when our gardens are starting to build and we have all this bounty to look forward to.
Yes.
And I hope this instills some creativity and plenty of things to enjoy on our time off and the weekends.
And something to get in the ground that you can, you know, maybe later in the summer at the county fair, you can enter a pie
That's
into a
right.
baking contest.
That's a great feeling to take what you've made and share it with other people mm-hmm. in a jar, in baking and all that stuff. And I think this will set you up to do that.
So just real quick, Murph, what is your absolute favorite fruit to cook with?
Well, I'm not as experienced as some. But I like figs a lot,
mm-hmm.
and I like apples a lot. I have never mixed the two together.
But they would be good together,
yeah.
I'll bet.
Like, you know, I have a friend that lives outside of town, a winesap apple tree. I look forward to those apples when he shares them, and they're great.
That's a true friend who shares his apples. Okay, Murph, thanks so much. Next week on GLT's Grow, hydrangeas and how to cultivate them. And by that, I don't mean give them English accents, make them look real swell in your garden. It is springtime. Maybe you've got some gardening questions or problem that you'd like to share with Murph. Go to our website, wglt.org/grow. Fill in the form and send that question along to us. We would love to hear from you. Maybe Murph will answer your question on the air. That's wglt.org/grow.